If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of John, the 14th chapter, we're going to look at verse 2 and 3, and we're just going to look at them for just a minute. We're actually going to go over to the book of Thessalonians, but there's where the text of my scripture will come from, the message would come from tonight out of the book of Thessalonians. But I want you to think back to when God saved you. If I was to ask people to raise their hand, and I'm not, don't raise your hand, could you tell me how old you were when God saved you? Could you tell me where you were at when God saved you? Could you tell me what you looked ahead in time and seen when God saved you? Disciples says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, may be also. Now if you'll flip over to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. Holler when you got it. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This is Paul writing. It says, But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them who asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, I want you to catch that now. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I want you to think about when God saved you. And I want you to think about, did you ever think about looking ahead in time and looking at these scriptures here, about what these scriptures here mean? You know, I can just imagine what the disciples thought in the upper room that night when Christ told them, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. They're thinking, he's leaving us. But he told them, he's going to come again, and he's going to receive him unto himself. And then when you look at these verses of Scripture, you know, most of the verses I just read there is associated. It is the central core of Christian faith, but it's associated with the rapture. But now, did you know? I'll give you a little piece of information that not one time is the word rapture found in the Bible. It's not there. But those readings is associated with what people call the rapture. And the rapture is going to be, it's the event where God will gather the saved, his children, to himself before the final is fought. So when we think about, you know, that day that Christ saved us, that we ask him to come into our hearts and be our personal Savior, especially if we are saved at a young age, I would imagine most of us sitting in here was saved when I was 13 years old. I never once thought about what's going to take place when God comes back. It wasn't until my upper later years that when I started really studying the Bible that I started getting the meanings of things of the Bible. And when you look at these scriptures here, what the Lord has said, there's so many promises here. Paul, in writing this, says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren." He's telling us, you know, hey, I want you to know these things. I want you to know what's fixing to happen here. I want you to understand what's fixing to happen. I don't want you not to know. And when they talk about asleep in the Bible, they're talking about death. They're talking about a physical death. You know, when Lazarus died, Jesus told the few disciples that was with him that he's just asleep. He says, "I'm going to go to him. I'm going to wake him up, but he's just asleep." And, you know, I often think about Lazarus, and I often think about Christ standing in front of that tomb. You know, and it was a family tomb, so there was already buried in there. And no doubt in my mind that when Christ called Lazarus, he called, well, the Bible tells him he called him by name, but he called him by name for a purpose. Because if he had said, "Hey, arise and come on out," everybody in that tomb would have got up and walked out of there. He just wanted Lazarus. That's why he called him by name. But that was free, by the way. That was just kind of got off there. But when we think about those that have died, you know, the Lord's telling us, you know, if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to worry about death. The Bible says, "Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory?" You know, when in these scriptures here, it tells us that when he splits that eastern sky, when he comes back, he's going to call the dead out of the ground. Those that accepted him as his their personal Savior, when he comes, them graves are going to, that dirt's going to move back. Them graves are going to flop open. And all the dead in Christ is going to rise. That's what it tells us. It also tells us that us, if we're still alive and remain when he comes to do that, when he comes back, we'll meet him in the air. Have we ever thought about that? You know, we're going to be flying. You ever thought about flying? Preacher's flying right now. But we'll be flying without wings. Christ is just going to say, "Come on, come go with me," and we're going to leave this world. And we're going to live with him forever and always throughout eternity. There's not going to be no more sorrow. There's not going to be no more sickness. There's not going to be no more pain. There's not going to be no more crying. He's going to wipe every tear from every eye. And we're going to live with him forever and always in a perfect place called heaven. And if you can't get excited about that, then something's wrong with your excitement. I mean, tell you, just to know that when he calls me, you know, he wrote my name When I asked him to save me, he wrote my name down. And when he goes, starts going, he's going to say, Bobby, come on, son. I'm your Savior. I'm the one you've trusted in. I'm the one you love. I'm the one that you've tried to serve. Come on and go with me. I'm going to put you in a place. You know, I have a prayer request that was made here tonight. The sickness that's in this church, the cancer that's going around, the COVID that's going around. And I think about that. I meant to add my mom to the prayer request. She's in the hospital now. She's been in there for the last week. You know, she's not going to be sick no more. Nobody in this church is going to be sick no more. That if they've accepted Christ, they're home free, as you, if you want to say it that way. They're going to have a perfect body. Nothing's going to be wrong with them. And it says, verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even then, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Can you really comprehend that? Can you comprehend what he's going to do for us? He's already saved us. He's already promised us a life. But you know, one day, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. One day we're going to die unless he comes back first. If he comes back first, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But if he doesn't, we're going to die. There's no way you're going to escape that. And they're going to take your old body, and they're going to take you to a funeral home someplace, and they're going to put a needle in you, and they're going to pump the blood out and drain it out. Then they're going to pump you full of whatever that stuff's called. That stuff. Then they're going to take you in. That is, if you're not cremated. Then they're going to take you and they're going to lay you out someplace where everybody comes see you. You know, and everybody's going to walk by and they're going to pay their last respects and they're going to say, you know, poor Johnny, poor Bobby, you know, he had a rough life or he done this or he done that. But they don't realize. That's only. That stuff they pumped in your body, no good. Because God's going to call you out of that grave. He's going to bust that grave open. He's going to say, come on. He said, Brother Jimmy, come on, go with me. Brother Andy, come on, go with me. And just think about it, guys. When we get there, you know, my dad used to say he cut his finger off when he was, in his mid-40s, he cut it off right up to there, got it caught in a lawnmower chain, sprocket, and it cut it off. And he used to say, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have all my fingers, and they're going to work just fine. Isn't that great? When I get to heaven, I ain't going to have no glasses. I'm going to see just fine. You know, there's nothing going to be wrong with us. Verse 15 says, for if we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede them in, who are asleep. So see, we're not, the dead's going to rise first and then God's going to call us up. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself. Now I love this verse here. This gets you excited. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, and I know I've said it here before, and I'll say it again. I tell my mom all the time, Mom, the Lord comes back, even if I'm dead, if the Lord comes back, I'm going first. I'm going to go before you. And she, son, how you figure that? Well, Mom, you're a lot farther west than I am. I'm closer to the than you are. and he's coming out of that eastern sky. So that's me first, Mom. But anyhow, I want you to think about that second coming of Christ. And I really want you to think about that second coming is going to be a whole lot different than his first coming was. The first coming, he come from. He was born of a virgin. He was a babe. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was laid in a manger. The second coming, the first coming, he came to save us of our sins. The second coming, he's coming, is to gather his children home. And it's not going to be as quiet as it was the first time. He's coming, and if you want to say it, he's coming with a bang. People's going to know he's coming, that he's here. And I'm just glad that I can say when he comes again, I'm going home to be with him. You know, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, So Christ was once offered to bear our sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Isn't that a great verse of scripture? That when he comes again and he takes us home, there's not going to be no more sin. Salvation that he's promised us. It's salvation that we have. It's a life that you can live forever and always, for an eternity. And you know, I think about different people and their age, how long they've lived. You know, just the other day, somebody on the news, they celebrated their birthday at 104 years old. That's a long time to live on this earth. But can you just imagine what an eternity is going to be? I'm excited. Now, I've heard the preacher say, you know, I'm ready to go. But if they get trying to get a busload to go today, I want to wait a few more days. There's a few more things, a few more people I want to tell about Christ to. I want to try to win them to Jesus. I got a few family members that I would love to see come to the saving knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. So I kind of want to stick around to try to win them to Christ. So when he comes, when he does, if you want to say, get that busload going, that my family's on there, you know. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, watch therefore, know not what hour our Lord doth come. No man knoweth the time, no man knoweth the date. He could come in the next blink of an eye. It could be another 100 years our time. But we, as Christians, and according to his scripture, we know it's not going to be long. So, you know, the Bible tells us in Titus, the Bible tells us to live a life while we wait for his second coming, to get your heart right with God, to get your affairs in order, to trusting, believing, worshiping, serving, but above all, loving, and love your neighbor. The Bible tells us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves. So, you know, are you ready for him to come? Are you excited about him coming? You know, I get excited when, well, sometimes I get excited when our kids call and say, hey, we want to come down for the weekend. And my first question is, are you bringing the grandkids? Because if you ain't bringing the grandkids, stay at home. But I do. I get excited when our grandkids come. Love our grandkids. Get excited about them. And it's good to see them come, but it's also good to see them go home too. Sorry, Mom. But and last but not least, Book of James, 5th chapter. The Bible tells us, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. The Bible tells us it's not going to be long. You know, the disciples thought he was coming when they were there. All down through time, people thought, well, he's coming. He's coming. Well, the Bible tells us he's coming. He's going to split that eastern sky. He's coming. Get your hearts right with God. Get prepared to meet your Lord and Savior. Let's all stand. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight just thanking you for this time that we stand here and read your word, dear Heavenly Father, and we pray that everything that was said and done here tonight would be to glorify you. We get so excited about thinking about coming back again, about you raising the dead, you calling us up, dear Father, to meet you in the air. Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. We thank you for the people that's here tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the people that is online with us. We ask you to bless each soul that's here. Each prayer request that was made known tonight, those that wasn't, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to reach down with your hand of love and draw them near and let them know that you're Lord and Savior. You're still God. You're still in the prayer answering business. You're still in the miracle working business. We claim your word, dear Heavenly Father. But above all these things, we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die on that cross for us, that we could have an everlasting life, an eternity with you. And we're looking forward to that day. Now go with us as we leave this place. Bring us back at a next appointed time. And I'll be sure to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory for it. Through your precious son's name, I ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.